So, yeah, I love that chat about the shadow and what it is, because I feel like that is like number one kind of for like healing.
Oh yeah, I think that's like if you're building a house, that's the foundation to me.
Right? And I feel like well, I don't know. So many people I know, I guess that's why we became friends, and I've found that most of the people who I communicate about this stuff on are not physically around me. I guess that's why we're doing this. Because you know what I mean? It's like I
Yeah.
want to be able to talk about this stuff. I mean, I do with my partner and stuff, but like it's like there's it's not we are really like leaders in and that word itself sounds so however it sounds imposing or whatever, but like we are helping awaken this way of being that may it help everybody awaken. Because the shadow, even the word itself has kind of a negative connotation, but it's actually like the most, the more we love that part of ourselves, right? The more we, it's like embracing your inner unhealed child, like the
All of
more we give
it.
it love, right? It's like that's how we're able to heal and help other people and give more love to the world. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. I absolutely agree with that. That's what I call like radical self-love because
And you wrote a book about it. Yeah.
The self-love files.
Yeah.
That kind of because of my journey and like what I was going through, and I always thought like, oh, self-love is bubble baths and it's drinking a glass of wine at the end of the day. Like, I really had no freaking clue what, and I'm not trying to make fun of anything, but like I had no idea. And then it's only when I started like digging deep and doing my shadow work and working with my shaman, that I started to uncover these things. I'm like, oh shit, this is really what self-love is. Self-love is really being able to sit in the uncomfortableness of all these pieces inside of you that are unhealed, and yeah, all that stuff that we just don't look at, right? Because it's very easy for all of us to just go about our day and respond and react from whatever place that we are currently residing in energetically, and to not think about much of anything, right? Because why would we need to? We have all of these fun things to entertain us, like movies and
It's
books
like,
and social
that.
media now, and we can buy stuff to fill that void.
Oh my God. Yes. It's like self-love. And another word the way it's misinterpreted, I feel like is authenticity.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I feel like those two words are both so trendy and important and like vital and like the foundation, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like with the word, I remember authenticity. I remember even using the word. I had a blog that I've since closed. It was like in 2015 and it was called nobubblegum.com. No bubblegum meant like no bullshit. I wanted it to be like,
I love that, and I feel like you need to revive that.
I could like I, well, I think I gave out the
If it
website,
feels
but
aligned, obviously, but the very first thing that, even before you said the name, I'm like, oh, you need to, I don't
oh,
know.
actually, I know, and the person who helped me do it, and actually, that it looked great. Oh gosh, okay, all right, let's put that on. Let me note that in my head, and then maybe come back to it. But yeah, I remember writing articles about authenticity, and I remember, on like some basic level, like it's about that no bullshit thing, but it's like so much deeper. And like, unless we do the shadow work, unless we look at the stuff that's not so pretty, like it's difficult, like it's impossible to be authentic. Like, it's like
Oh yeah.
becoming more who we are. But just to say, I used to simplify it myself too.
Oh,
I
we
used to,
all have.
like, I didn't even realize, like, I didn't even know. I wasn't totally being inauthentic personally because I've hid myself so many damn times when I'm in a room full of men for business or, you know, in music stuff. Like, just the pattern starts so young, whether it's for me, like childhood fear of my dad, you know,
Same.
ridiculing me or whatever, right? We have that in common. Love you, Dad.
I know. Love you. I'm still here,
My dad's all around your dad's. But yeah, like the shit that, you know, just being human, that I didn't realize I was like hiding so much of myself to feel safe. And then, you know, that playing out in school and then as an adult and then even, you know, into my 30s, and mid 30s even, just like not even like knowing the depth of the ways in which I was not, like, I'm actually super fucking confident and like I have opinions and I'm not always right, but like I allow myself to evolve, and that coming from that self-loving place. But I was just like, I don't know, I was afraid. And I'm still a little afraid, especially when you express your opinions about what's happening in the world now, and then you get like nasty messages.
Feedback. Yep.
But it's like, it's so critical to the to our healing and the planet evolving, or us evolving. Actually, it's not the planet. The planet, like
the
that
planet
reading
is good.
It is good. It's us.
Us who are trying to catch up to the planet.
Exactly. You know? Which was in that great reading by Anthony Quinn. I love how he articulated that.
Oh, I need to read that. I have not read that.
Oh, no. You sent it to me. Not the article.
Oh, that guy.
The video.
I
article?
Realized his name. That's right.
Yeah. I meant to say.
He was so
amazing video.
And then he's like, I want to know whatever he was saying at the end. I'm
oh
like,
my God, yeah.
Like, he said it. And then he just like, okay, bye. I'm like, wait a minute. What's this language thing you're using?
Oh my God, yeah. Wait, we'll put a link to that below, because yeah, below, you guys are going to love it as much as we did. Like, yeah, that was my favorite.
What?
Yeah.
I definitely feel like this is probably the best time for Earth, because we're having these conversations now, yeah. You know, like,
yeah.
Healing is happening. It may be slow, but I think those of us who are in the know, those of us who are in the know are just going to keep talking and sharing our light. And yeah. To speak on what you said about, because I resonate so deeply with being afraid to be our full selves and
yeah.
Truly being authentic, because yeah. Us being fully, or I'm going to speak for me being fully authentic me is going to hurt some egos, right? Like,
totally.
Shadow is also making friends with the ego space, integrating yes. That ego space. But if you, and it's just so funny how like timely it is, because I love period pieces. It's just mm-hmm. Fascinating to me. And I think from like an artist standpoint, because I consider my soul above everything else that I've done, I'm just a creative artist. Like, I just am such a geek for all the things. But like, what I love about the storyline is great. I like how accurate it is to points in history, which is also very fascinating. Mm-hmm. I love, 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 love the detail, the attention to detail, and all of the sets and the costumes and
the beauty. And you love beauty.
Beauty. Like,
oh! It's a theme from the lipstick to your appreciation of these beauty matters.
I love it. Yes. But also, I'm so grateful I was born in this time and now. One, because I'm Black, so hello, no. But I am not the type of person, authentically me is using my voice and having my opinions and sharing despite what anybody else says. Because even the majority of the time, I'm operating from a heart space. I'm operating yes. from love. And I'm human, of course. So, you mm-hmm. know, the triggers can sneak in and yeah. The unhealed parts can sneak in. And then I can check myself, or somebody close to me can check myself. But the theme of that whole, of everything, women forever have been mm-hmm. silenced and oh, you're yeah. not allowed to speak out. So, like, not only are we carrying our own stuff, but we're definitely carrying generations.
Absolutely.
And hundreds, if not thousands of years of suppression
mm-hmm.
from the patriarchy. I mean, is yeah. it as simple yeah. as the patriarchy?
Yeah.
The powers
no, absolutely.
That the theys? I don't know.
Yeah, the systems that is breaking down and needs to break down.
Mm-hmm.
We are actively changing it. Actually, that's really, I love that you said that. That's just bringing it all together, you know, like,
and yeah, I'm watching that show and I'm like, you have to
the gilded age. Okay, I'll see if it's on. Yeah,
well, I love, like I said, I love period pieces. I like anything I like anything with elaborate design, I guess.
Yeah
It's just like eye candy for me. But Cynthia Nixon, I'm like the biggest Sex and the City fan. I don't care.
I'm a huge fan of her now because of her politics.
Well, I love her politics. I yeah. love that she just is using her voice and speaking humans. Out. We yeah. need more of that. Specifically, that's coming from a woman, because that's just like, thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But also,
because she was Miranda in Sex and the City. I just love Sex and the City so much.
Yeah.
It may not be totally PC if you watch the things today, but I love it.
That's so funny. Did you watch it I didn't watch it in real time.
I watched the last couple of episodes in real time. Like, not episodes. Like, I think I watched the last season in real time. I was in my early 20s. So what came out in 2000? It ended in 2006, but came out in the end.
No, I didn't watch in real time. I wasn't into it until I got sick and binge watched.
Yeah, I watched the last season of it, I think, because I think I was still in high school.
Yeah.
Graduated high school when it came about. And so back then I wasn't really thinking of that stuff. I was just whatever. And then as my earlier 20s, I'm like, oh, this is really kind of funny.
And then
I went down the rabbit hole. I bought I don't know if they still have it. I call it my pink Bible, but it's like a pink velour DVD set of all of the seasons.
My friend had that.
Yeah.
I
still have it. I refuse to get rid of it. But I ended up going down the rabbit hole watching it all. And now that we have HBO/Max, whatever.
Right.
I can watch it, and I'll put it on in the background sometimes.
Do you watch the new what's it called? There's a new
And just like that, I did. I started watching it because I'm such a huge I just love them.
Yeah.
I love
the
characters. Also, I've had an obsession with New York City since I was a little girl, but I think now I was to meet my partner there. And the obsession has since gone away because we have met and now we've been together. But I think it prompted my, my dad used to take us there all the time as kids. Mm-hmm. And then I just always wow. The sights that you see. And if you are a New Yorker like yourself, you've been to New York or you've actually lived there, you will understand what I'm talking about. There's just some New York.
You can take it for granted, though. I totally took it for granted because growing up 20, 25 minutes outside, our parents used to drag us there to go to museums and stuff. but there is something that I didn't appreciate, I think, until I left New York, maybe.
I get that.
You know? I would hear my friends from Europe or from wherever else in the world be like, oh my God, you're there. That's when they would come to visit, they'd be like, oh my gosh, that's in the movies.
It is. And I think coming from New England area, which is so different.
Totally.
And my dad has always said, if you don't do anything else, travel is the most important thing that you can do in your lifetime. I have taken that to heart in so many ways. But yeah, New York was this thing. And then I moved there and I was only there for a year, but that was one of the funnest, best, most exciting times of my life. And then I met my partner, and then we've just been literally traveling the world for the last 16, 17 years together. So the obsession has gone, but I will always have a deep resonance and love for New York City.
Oh my God. Yeah. It will. I think I'll always feel like a New Yorker. It might be the only place where I feel, no, that's not true. I mean, yeah, I miss having shows there. It's been now 2 years. I haven't even been there because when my dad retired, my parents moved to Philly, there were less and less reason to go except if I were having a show. And then, yeah, I do. Gosh, as we talk about it, I miss it. Let's stop talking about it.
Okay.
I miss it. I really do. It's part of my soul. It's part of my entire music journey. As soon as I, after university, I volunteered in the Marshall Islands teaching kids. I always knew that's in the middle of the Pacific. If anyone's listening, if you're interested or don't know, it's halfway between Australia and Hawaii. I knew two things about my life. I knew music was my path and I knew I wanted to help people. And I had no idea how difficult the music business would be or how much I would need to get lost before I found myself. That actually brings tears to my eyes. No shit.
But it's so, God.
Yeah. But so I went, when I was just about to graduate, I was like, what the fuck? How am I going to do this? Like, music. And I knew I didn't want to live at home. My parents were not happy and they were not very supportive at all. At that time, it was very difficult at home. And I was like looking on the internet, like, where can I go and how can I get there? And thank you, angels. I didn't really think about it like that then, but there was an opportunity to volunteer to teach, to be the first music director, which they never had music before, but it's an island culture in the middle of the Pacific. Like they already, there's, oh my God. Amazing experience. I'm leading us in a whole different direction from New York,
that's but okay.
just to say, it was amazing. I'm so attached to the Marshall Islands. It's a sovereign country. It's a group of islands that the U.S. There is actually a military base on Kwajalein, which is an atoll. This group of islands, it's the largest open water group of islands in the world in the middle of the Pacific. Why am I saying all this? Just to say, because it made me think of you with a U.S. military base. I just thought of that. But I was living on this really incredible, impoverished island, but so rich in love and kindness and all of my values.
It just aligned.
It just was so aligned with who I am and who I've always been in this lifetime anyway. and I would like to say if I could go back, I would have stayed there a few more years. I did go back and did more, little more volunteer work and went to visit and stuff. But it's so damn far away. It's like literally doesn't get further away. But all this to say, coming from there to New York City and to start my life as an artist with no idea what the hell I was doing, I had all the advantages in many ways in terms of the college I went to, in terms of, for obvious reasons, I had a lot of advantages, but nothing, the college, none of those things really were helpful. None of those things help you in terms of music business. and it's certainly if you have a lot of integrity and you're a bit naive and you like believe, and you think that people who say they believe in you actually do and are going to help you, all those things I believed that, you know, I know that was my journey. It's a beautiful story, but all this to say, New York, that's why I grew there so much, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's where I had my first shows outside of school. And I was like carrying my, you know, 66 key old Casio from living in Harlem, taking the A train down to 14th Street, taking the L train to First Avenue, walking with my keyboard on my back in the middle of winter, like to Avenue C for like my shows for like five people.
Oh, I love that. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And I had like no friends there. Like
New York is an interesting place for friends. Like,
yeah,
it was not, I mean, I moved there. I was hellbound. I was just going to go there. And then my sister was like, I'm coming too. So she came. Yeah. And then this random person that was my sister's friend, I didn't want to have this person come. She's a beautiful person. But I think I wanted just me and my sister. If anybody was going to be in my little bubble of what I was creating, I wanted it to just be my sister. But also, New York City is so expensive, so I'm glad that this person came. And like it was a good time. It is what it is. But there's like these places, and it kind of reminds me of a movie I watched recently. It's called Past Lives. Have you seen that?
Oh my gosh, it keeps coming up. I haven't seen it. I need to see it.
Broke me in the best way. It tugs at you.
Oh.
So like it's so beautiful, and it's basically like a movie honoring all the different versions of ourselves and the different lives we could have lived, but chose not to, right? So honoring where we are in the present, but then like she also got this gift of honoring what could have been. And there's a lot of times in the past little while on my journey, like I have been in this space, and I think it's just, it could be integrating, it could be healing, it could be whatever, because since I've watched this movie, I have not had that energy anymore.
Interesting.
But like I am such a sentimental like person, and like I almost felt like I was grieving paths not taken in my life.
Wow.
And like just different things, and like, wow, if I had done this, it would have been so drastically different. And I'm so happy with where I am in life. I'm so happy with, like, I literally do not have very many. I mean, I'm sure you could always find something to complain about, but I choose not to. But there's so much beauty and magic in the life that I live now, right? And there's so many blessings, but there's still that, like, I don't know. And then since I watched the movie, like, I was crying. I was like, oh my gosh, I get this on a deep level.
Yeah.
It healed something inside of me where I don't feel that same, like, tug and pull, because you can't obviously go backwards and change anything.
No,
like,
no,
unless somebody knows where the time machine is, and would I even want to, right? But like, there was just so many different, it was a cool movie. It was good.
All right, I'm gonna see it.
And it's to Korean people, and I have such so I think New York for me used to be like that, similarly to you, but I feel like I feel like Korea is like that for me. Oh, look. Yes.
Wait, how did you make that happen?
I don't know.
Fireworks. You did it the other day, and I was like, how did you do it?
I think it's two thumbs up.
Oh,
but okay. Like,
yep, it is.
I take that because I've
literally never done that in my life, except maybe when I was trying to do that the other day, and I forgot. Well,
it was a new upgrade on, like, you have an Apple phone. And
oh, yeah, no, I'm not going to do it because I don't need that.
No, but right because now. We're both... I'm on my laptop is a MacBook, and I think yours is too. So apparently the upgrade works for that too. Yeah. I had no intention of doing that, but I think that's a good sign from
you're like, Korea. Somebody's a little excited to move back to Korea.
Oh, that was so awesome. But
what you're saying actually just made me think on a much lighter note, that it made me think of some of Dolores Cannon's work and other people's work of how when we are in a point in our lives where we're making a major decision or we're like on the brink of something, like if there's enough energy that is like toward one direction, it actually like one of you, because you know there's many of us, right?
Yeah.
One of the in another reality, in another dimension, that other version of you does exist.
Yeah.
So I just like not to add that, you know, like it's kind of a cool concept.
It is cool. And I think on some weird level, it gives me peace. And I'm like, even if I'm not living that life.
Yeah.
Other Ifis. Right? Happen.
Yeah.
Like other.
Yeah. Totally.
Well, I mean, I pray. I'm just going to believe that.
So I like did this. I was waiting for balloons. I didn't leave it long enough. Good.
Okay.
I didn't want them. Just one thing about friends, because I was saying I had no friends, but you were excited and
sorry.
No, not at all. Just because if my friends listen to this, they're gonna be like, what do you mean you didn't have friends? What I meant to say was I didn't have any friends who are on that artist path.
Yeah.
No, I where I went, where, you know, most of the people I went to school with were lawyers or doctors or, you know, working at an investment bank and I had like 8 different jobs. You know, I was working at a bar. I worked for a very short time at a bank. And they wanted me to stay. And I like couldn't commit. It was really great money, but I was like, nope, I'm going to quit. Actually, 9/11 happened. It was a day after my birthday. And I had in advance decided to take that day off. Everyone in New York has a 9/11 story. I lived in Harlem, but I worked just a few blocks from World Trade. And I was there every day of the week. This is like just like a short period of time after, in between the volunteer work and trying to figure out my life, I had had this opportunity to, it was not a full-time thing, but it was like a consultant position, whatever. It wasn't as like, it's not like I was working at a bank, but I was doing like human resource stuff. I'm not like a numbers person, not just saying. It wasn't that high pressure. My boss totally favored me and like loved the fact that I was a musician. You know, I had very short platinum hair and blue nails, and like he was super nice. But 9/11 happened. Thankfully, I was nowhere nearby. I had planned to be recording an album that day. I'd received funding for it. Super excited. Obviously that didn't happen. And then why do I keep like shifting the conversation? I'm sorry.
No, sorry. I love this. I just love the flow. Like,
yeah,
it's
like my whole life story. This episode. I don't think about it all the time, but yeah,
maybe this is like shadow work.
Oh, it's like, well, is it?
I don't know.
No, I mean, I'm proud of. I'm sure, yeah,
at some level, maybe.
Or maybe it's there's someone listening who's like, you know, has felt that on your path, you've also taken a less than traditional path for like your whole life and has felt, I had like no support from my family. They just weren't, it was pretty awful. Honestly, if I think about it, it was really awful. I love them all so much, but they just couldn't, they were, you know, my dad.
You're the unicorn of the family.
Sorry?
I said, you're the unicorn of the family. Like they say the black sheep, which is a different one, but I like the unicorn instead.
I like that too.
My family.
I used to have a poster that said, "You are the orange sheep of the family."
Yes,
that was in my first apartment, actually, in New York.
I love that.
But yeah, anyway, I've had so, you know, when you're on this kind of artist path, often when you choose that path, because there have been points where I chose not to have money. I chose these, you know, to be a part-time art teacher and a babysitter and to work at a bar, you know, all these other jobs. By the way, my best paying job was working at a bar by far.
Oh yeah. Like,
by
people
far.
People love to drink.
It just ate my
money at people.
Totally. And they just threw at the drunk. Well, not the, yeah, it depends which bar, but yeah. I just remember I was like making such good money, but it was like slowly eating away at my soul. Cause yep. I had like, because then you don't get up until late. You don't get home until 4. You're like counting your bills.
It's the whole thing.
And anyway, just to say, like, when you take an untraditional path, it's, I'm super grateful now. Actually, as we speak, I feel more like compassion for my journey. You know?
Yeah.
No idea what the fuck I was doing.
That's my whole life. Like, I resonate because my life has been completely not traditional. I've just kind of, I guess, flowed with like what the energy, you know what I mean? I've had a bunch of random jobs, so I totally understand. It is just interesting. But I've told my mom, like, if I had not experienced the trauma that I lived with growing up as a kid, would I, and like, let's say I had the ideal family situation, you know what I mean? Like, ideal would be like all the love and all the hugs and like very little friction and a healed parents. My parents were not, they grew up with us. so if it had been more quote unquote ideal, would I still be exactly who I am now? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't think I would be. I feel like, and I hate to say it because it just sounds so cliche and annoying, but I am a much stronger version. I feel like I'd be a bit more watered down.
Yeah.
Had I had the idyllic, is that even a word? Ideal?
Yes, it is.
The ideal type of family situation and everybody was healed and everybody was coming from their highest and best self all the time.
Sounds really boring.
It almost does. And then I don't even like that because like, I don't want... You had told me, because Jess is a soul realignment practitioner, and I'm still learning what all that does and all it means.
Yeah.
But she had done a session for me, and she said that my soul like is okay with lots of drama. And it in turn made me laugh hysterically, and then like I shed some tears. I'm like, this makes so much sense. Because everyday life, I don't have drama. Like, I am very drama-free, whatever. But then the things that circle around me, it's like I literally am the calm walking through all of this chaos. Yeah. But it's just so... My brain cannot... what? So I feel the same way about my childhood. If I had any other childhood less traumatic, I would not... I would be a bit more watered-down version of my current self. And like, I don't like that. Like, I
No. And we both know that our parents did their best.
Absolutely. Like, they did the best.
And there was always I'm sorry?
They did the best with the tools that they had.
Exactly. And I feel like that's, cause like, there's so many ways, and neither you or nor I, we're not doing that here, but like where there are ways in which people can, many people that both of us know, you know, can tend to victimize themselves and be like, well, this happened to me. And again, oh my gosh, of course, as soon as I say that, I'm like, literally like, oh my God, but people have had so much more difficult circumstances. But in general, looking at it as, you know, why did I choose these people to be in my family? What are they here to teach me? Or what did I learn from that? I think whenever you can look back and say, wow, like for my dad, okay, he was, we had a lot of healing later on, but it was bad for, he just was very unhealed. And that came out in the way he treated all of us. And I feel bad even saying that now because he's transitioned. But it is what it is. I feel
like he's still supporting you though. Like,
he's super proud. And like, our relationship is great in this new phase, which we'll do another episode. I would love to talk about that at some point.
Yeah,
I have a lot of, experience with that, the afterlife after death. Yeah, looking at it just with so much gratitude, I feel so grateful to have the family I do, and to have all the experiences that we have, all the times I made the quote bad decision, I learned the lesson, like not just once or twice, but maybe 18 times.
Yeah,
maybe it got worse each time because I can be an obstinate bitch.
You speak to my soul.
That is my shadow. And you know, people, right? People see you, oh, you're so nice, and you're like, yeah, I but like, hello, we're humans. We have all the things.
Absolutely. It's just, there are so many times my ego wants to, like, I am so good with words normally. The Gemini in me, maybe, but like I could, and I don't. I never do, actually, which is, I'm really actually proud of myself. But like, I could really hurt somebody with words.
I knew you were gonna say that. I know you have this gift.
And my ego so desperately wants to be like, snap, bitch. You know what I mean? Put him in place. But I don't. I don't know what stops me, truly. I really don't. I'm grateful for it.
Emotional mastery. It's your mastery.
You know what? Honestly, because in the moment, like, not only is my ego being like, see it, just see it. There's a part of,
like, literally see it going,
it's true. You. There is like a part of me is like, who the fuck really cares? And I'm like, you're right. And then I move in that direction every time because if it takes too much energy from me, I'm just not interested. Like,
yeah.
And that, because then I have to deal with the aftermath of humans melting and being, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But I will always, 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 always without fail, stick up for myself and stick up for other people if I see something happening or if somebody is trying to project onto me, I'd be like, I don't think so. And this is mine. And then it'll come out.
I love, but that's very positive though. You know,
I just,
No. I have an easier time. I don't even want to own this. I don't want to say this to label, but for me, it's easier for me to stick up for other people. Like, I'm such a loyal person, but for myself, sometimes I might just like close the door and just detach, not because I need to protect my energy. Cause I don't have that divine seven power thing. Like I have the divine compassion, like super sensitive thing where I, like,
can you explain that to anybody who's listening to
like, yeah, that so, So this is all coming from a modality called soul realignment, where basically I go into someone's Akashic records, which is, if you're unfamiliar, your Akashic records are basically, it's like a memory of everything your soul has ever been through, like through every lifetime. So as you can imagine, it's like, there's a lot of stuff, right? We're working through from lifetime to lifetime. It didn't just start in childhood. It would be so much easier if it did. like I saw that one myself. I was like, oh gosh, this didn't start in this lifetime, my whole failure block. Anyway, each of us in this modality, the most basic things to look up are what are your, it's called your divine gifts. And there's there are eight of them, and we each person, each human has either one or two. And yours are divine power, which is exactly what you talked about. It's like, it's there. You're the, like the fastest manifestors. You can deal with more drama. These are just the basics, right? And your secondary, we share because we both have two. The secondary is divine communication, which is why I know we're meant to do this podcast, because we're both great communicators. Like, it's fun. It's easy. It's, you know, I don't say all the right things. You know, I see my shadow, but
I don't think that's the point, though. You know,
no, it's not. I'm just making a bad joke.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. Case in point, right? And mine are divine one, which is divine compassion, which the greatest gift would be empathy. It can, of course, be a superpower and also a curse, like everything. And I'm not here to, not that you're here to deal with drama, you're not, but you can move through it, whereas it can be, and again, I don't want to say this out loud because do you know what I mean? Because it feels
you're not attaching yourself to the energy. Yeah, it is what it is.
If you're not aware of your superpowers and you're allowing yourself to be exposed to more drama and you're someone like me, it's going to have a really terrible effect on you. So it's really important to steer clear of that. Yeah. But divine communication. Yay.
Oh no, I don't want to do the thumbs. Yay. Oh,
yeah. I like tried to do the two things really fast so the balloons didn't come out on the screen.
I know.
Oh my gosh. We're already at 36 minutes. So I feel that was like so fun.
Divine communication.
Yeah.
Divine five. Yeah.
Oh yeah. If you're interested in soul realignment, you can always email me at realignyoursoul@gmail.com. I just closed my Instagram page, or I'm just about to, for the first soul realignment. Cause I just, you know, there's so many things to do and
I get it.
Just like, I need to clear a little energy, you know, that's for another episode though.
Yeah. If you're looking for a little help with the self-love department, you can buy my book.
Exactly. It's awesome. I have it.
And I will, it's very simple. It's very easy to digest.
We'll put a link.
Good concepts, but like, it's not gonna like, it's not confusing.
Totally.
Yeah, we'll put a link down there.
Yep. Awesome. We love you.
Bye.
Catch you soon. Bye. All right, I'm gonna end this. I'm gonna do it. All right. Yes. Okay.